meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, welcome to the IDN Guidelines Working Group meeting. Today is 20th of October, 2016, and we have Edmund, Mats, Jian, and Sarmad online. So over to you, Mats, would you chair?
Yes. Okay. Well, if we look at the guidelines in the window, we see that there is an introduction that I have contributed with. You see the text in red. The purpose of that is to put kind of create the framework for the guidelines. I have one suggestion, or two suggestions actually. One is to swap the original text with the new text, so that the original text that talks about versions should come after this introduction, maybe under its own headline. I think that versions is something that you look at after you see what it is about. And second, Carl sent a suggestion about must and should, etc., that I think was a good suggestion, referring to the RFC. This came late, so but Edmund and Jan, you have any comments on the introduction and the suggestions that I made? Edmund?
Yeah, this is Edmund. I think they're fine in general. I think I agree with Cal's statement that he sent to the mailing list. The way it's structured is fine. I think we'll need to do some editing, and especially on the must should, we should probably just use the RC RC style text for that paragraph as well. Other than that, I think it's I'm comfortable with the intent.
Do you agree that the text about versioning should be after the new introduction? Well, if you scroll up again, Sarmad, or maybe to Edmund. So this, the text here, this version, etc.
Right. I'm fine either way. I don't think it makes a big difference. But maybe at the very, when we get to the final version, when we get to the final form of this particular version, we should include it, in the title or, at the very beginning.
Yes, but here that this version is okay.
So I think it's fine whether it comes first or last in the particular introduction paragraph. I think it's fine how you structured it, just because even in future versions, it's kind of going to be the same, at least in my mind. So whether the bottom or front doesn't really matter.
Jan?
Yeah, I also generally support. I think it's fine. Yeah, it's either way, it's okay. Either we discuss a little bit now, or we can leave it until later. I'm comfortable.
My suggestion is, Yeah. My suggestion is that we just leave it as it is, but that we add Carl's text at the end instead of the last two sentences in my text.
Yeah,
that we refer to the RFC instead. Yeah. So we delete the two last. Yeah, we delete the two last sentences of my text, and then add the call text instead. Okay, so let's then move to the new text about variants.
This is Ahmad. Can I make a very quick comment on the first two lines?
Yes.
Could we just collectively refer this to IDDA 2008 rather than just referring to one RFC, because it's a series of RFCs from 5890 to 5893. So can we just say IDDA 2008 and not list just one RFC?
Sometimes further down we say that it should be 2008, but I think it's fine to refer to DNS or IDN 2008, and then we should maybe in the reference then have having IDN 2008 pointing at the RFCs that defines it. The reason why I just brought one RFC was that I didn't want to have a list of RFCs, and that first RFC actually points out the other ones. I think, and so I thought it could be fine to have just one, but your suggestion is fine, Farmad.
Okay.
Okay, let's go down to the variants. Are they copied in here?
There was no statement sent in, so I've not updated it, but we can continue our discussion.
Okay, so there is a text that Edmund sent in, but that was very late. Could we have that up in the window? It doesn't have to be pasted into the document or just pasted in raw.
I've done it in the notes section on the side here for reference. If you want to read through that and discuss it. If you want, I can add that in.
But this is fine. Welcome, Dennis. Okay. Edmund, do you want to comment your text? We have.
Sure.
We see the text.
I guess the. Yeah, the text is now posted on the bottom right-hand panel. So I guess this is I drafted it very quickly, so it's a bit rough. But the idea is to describe what we discussed last time about the IDN variant labels, and that it should be together with the primary IDN, if you will. We also, because of discussing this, we came across the question about defining a few terms: variant, IDN variant, IDN variant label, IDN variant characters. And I kind of added primary IDN just to describe what we're trying to talk about. So that's the suggestion right now. I was trying to describe what we talked about last time. So, wanted to hear if this reflects what we discussed. There is one particular point when I was writing it, I realized that most of the, when you do an action on a domain, transfer, delete, content and host updates, most of them would be, should be reflected to all the variants, except one particular case. I don't know whether we want to call it out, that's renewals. If there are registries offering activation of IDM variants with a separate fee, then in those cases, the renewal may not be renewing the entire set. So it makes it more complicated, but I guess the question is whether we should include that or make it or take away the descriptive part of the second half of the paragraph.
What about host updates? Is it always necessary to have the same delegation of all the variants?
This is Edmund again. I guess that's probably no, but from all the registries that I have worked with or have worked do that, although probably it's not a hard requirement. And I see Salmat's hand up as well.
Salmat?
Thank you. So I guess my question is, why not just simplify it and require that the variants must be registered by the same entity or same registrant there? And because that in, you know, our main concern was not harmonizing the operations as much as making sure that there is no confusability and security issues. And as far as the operational details are concerned, we leave it to the, registries to handle how they want to manage their systems, and they may actually want to manage them differently as per their own requirements. So we limit our recommendation only to ensure that there is no confusability and security issues. The reason I say that is because, somehow if we get into the operational details, there are additional issues. So, for example, how do you really define that it's a contact information? How do you ensure that it's the same contact information? You know, what subset of fields, for example, is required? Is it the complete information? Is it just, for example, some parts of it? For example, can you have two different phone numbers? There are probably more details there which need to be discussed if we go into.
Dennis, you want to comment? Well, I'm sorry, Edmund is raising his hand, so Edmund first.
Thank you, Matt. Just quickly, as I mentioned on the chat, and as I was listening to Salmat, I agree with that. So I think we can take away the now underlined part. That's the later part of the sentence.
Dennis,
you want
to comment something?
This is Dennis for the recording. Yeah, I agree. The first statement is fine, and I agree to remove the second statement, which, too, as Edmund suggests, is too prescriptive.
I have a general comment on the text, and that is the binding to LGR. In this text, IDN variant is defined referring to LGR. I think that is problematic. I see LGR as an implementation for representing the concepts that are needed for IDN, and the it's rather that LGR should follow the definitions that we set than that we base it on the LGR definition. Anyone? Jen?
Hello, this is Jen speaking. Edmund, I also had a quick comment on your question. Say, when you register a primary IDN, then for some registry, those variants are also allocated to you. But some other registry, they just simply blocking those variants from potential registration. That means those variants are not allocated to the primary registrar. So in this case, when you suggest that a renew host update or any kind of update, you need to be effectively affect all the variants and enter the primary domain name. That case is hard to apply to the second situation I mentioned, that blocking. Because when the registry blocking all the variants, those variants do not belong to the primary registrar. So it's hard to ask them to update all the information.
So what I hear you say, John, is that we need a definition of variant that is independent of if it's allocated, activated, or if it's just blocked.
And then that's
the second,
right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then the second step that talks about if variants are if it's possible to activate or allocate variants, then this and that should be followed.
That's right. I actually mentioned two cases, right? The first case is as Edmund suggests. If all the bundle of the domain name, including the variant, be allocated to you and have been activated, you can ask a registry to update all the information in transfer, deletion, and update. But if a registry just bundle, just blocking some variants, you can ask just to update those information. That's my concern.
Edmund, you have raised your hand.
So a couple of comments. I edited the. I agree with what Jen has said. I was quickly trying to put the words together, and it again it shows it's pretty rough. So the blocked ones shouldn't be allocated, and therefore I think must only allocate to the same registrant. I think the idea is that anything that is allocatable or is activated must be activated to the same registrant. I guess that's the principle. And I'm trying to edit it real time, but I probably should go back and think through it and to edit it properly. But I take that note. But on a different item that Matt, you raised, I think if I go down a little bit in terms of the definition of IDN variant, I take a slightly different view to it. I agree with you when you say that the LGR should fit the need of defining variance, but I think we need a much more precise description of what an IDN variant is in this context. Because when we talk about variance, it could be, you know, it could be sometimes talking about Latin and Greek and, you know, whole label stuff or names that are variations of one another. And it conflates the issue a lot when we talk about such things in the ICANN context. So that's why I'm suggesting that we have a specific definition. We don't have to call it IDN variants. That's the suggestion, to make it capitalize V and capitalize IDN variant and define that as the, you know, what the output from an LGR. That way we can operationally or provide recommendations specifically on those cases and not conflate the issues with other linguistic, you know, variants that we talk about.
Okay, I'll let Dennis come in before I answer that. Dennis?
Thank you, Matt. And I would just type in, and I agree with what Sarma just input in the chat box, that the you can allocate but also block as a policy. And the reason is that not every single registry operator may want to allocate or activate variants, and just they would just want to remain, keep those variants blocked. So I think we should allow for that.
I would say that there are three types of variants in this sense. There are allocated, they are blocked, but they are also allocatable. That means variants that could be allocated or could be activated, but are not.
Matt, but I mean the language, the proposed language. I mean maybe it's me misreading it, but I think it says that variants that are defined in the LGR, and I read LGR in a broad sense, which includes all IDN tables that have a variant, a definition of a code point or a label, must allocate to the same registrant, provided that the variant rule allows allocation, right? Because there are some variant rules that recommend blocking. But as I'm saying, as a registry policy, variants, whether it's allocatable or allocatable or blocked, the registry at the registry level, their policy is that they block all variants, regardless of the disposition recommendation.
And there are policies make some of the variants allocatable, and others are just blocked. There are TLDs that have that let you have Chinese domain names mixed with simplified and traditional, and let you allocate a pure simplified variant and a pure traditional variant, but not other variants.
Matt, I think I'm saying something different. Let me use .com, for example. So .com, for Chinese domain names, either simplified or traditional Chinese, they have a variance, and we have variant rules for .com at the second level for Chinese names, Chinese domain names. Our current policy is that we block all variants. So no registrant, even the same registrant of the domain name, cannot activate any variant. So that's our registry-wide policy. And that's what I think Sarmat is suggesting, and I agree with that. So at the registry level, the policy is going to be either block all variants or follow the LGR rules as far as Banyan activation.
So that's not necessarily automatic. So there could be variants that are blocked, or and variants that are activated, and variants that could be activated but are not activated. So it's more complex, but the text should cover that. I want to comment Edmunds on LGR, since all TLDs don't have their IDN tables defined in LGR. It means that this text then is not applicable for those TLDs. And I think that's a mistake. So we should talk about IDN variants and it should cover what IDN variants are. But it should be done in a way that is not using LGR as a mechanism to define it. That's my point. But we should, of course, do it in a way that is compatible with LGR, but we should have an independent definition of what we mean by IDA variants. And this is also for the readers of the text. We cannot assume that the reader of this text knows LGR inside and out. Farmad, please.
So I actually had two comments. The second one was the same as yours, which you just made. So let me take that up. And what I was actually going to say was that in our recommendations, we very clearly made a distinction where we're talking about legacy IDN tables and future subsequent delegations or changes, we are talking about LGRs. So when we specifically talk about LGR in our text, we are maybe confusing the reader to think that we are only talking about subsequent cases and not legacy cases, because we're not listing IDN tables explicitly. So either as what now Edmund is suggesting and what you suggested, Max, we include LGRs and IDN tables both in the text, or if we think separate treatment is needed in those two cases, then we need to have obviously separate text, maybe parts A and B for it. That's something we could discuss. So that's one thing I wanted to bring out. The second thing was I wanted to refer back to what Max, you said about three states, allocatable, allocated, and blocked. There are just two states as far as the ownership is concerned. So any label, if it's not applied for at this time, can generate a set of variants which are allocatable or blocked, or things anybody can test those. But when a registrant actually comes and registers a label, then there are only two states which are possible. One is some of those variants of that registered label are allocated. They're not allocatable. They are actually allocated, because once I, as a registrant, register a label, all its variants belong to me. They're not activated at this time, but they're certainly allocated. And then some of those I can, as a registrant, not access, which means those are blocked. So when I register a label, I get two sets of variants. one which are not owned by me and are blockchain, and the second set which are allocated to me, but they're not activated. Then I can choose from those which are allocated to me to activate them. So at least to my understanding, those are the only two possible cases. Allocatable is not a state which is applicable once a registration actually has been done, or I guess, and to put it another way, allocated and allocatable are in a way synonymous in that context, at least to my understanding. But that's just my opinion, and I'd love to hear your response to it as well.
Well, I mean, there's if you have not chosen to activate it, you have not taken the active step of using that variant, and the question is if you are responsible of that variant then. If it's possible for you to do it, but it's not been done, I don't know. This is tricky. I mean, it's a question of what is the how is it registered at the different registries, and if you who is look up on variants, will they point at the always point at the primary IDN to use Edmund's terminology. It's possible that it's so.
Just to very quickly come back to it, so I think we should need to be then very carefully define what we mean by allocatable versus allocated versus activated, because in another context, I think if you go back the root zone work, which was done integrated issues report, things start as allocatable and blocked, but as soon as somebody registers something, then we don't call it allocatable anymore. We call the variant set withheld. And so it sort of transitions into a different state. And then withheld means that group is held for the same registrant. If there is it's a separate question whether, what is, who is query going to return to. But, that's an operational thing. As far as the registry is concerned, the whole block of allocatable variables are withheld for the same registrant, and I think that's what I'm talking about, irrespective of whether who is query may or may not return the same thing.
Okay, yeah. We need some text that at least is clear and holds together. It does not necessarily have to reflect the terminology in any case, but it's good if it reflects the same terminology as used by ICANN for the root zone. So that's a good point. I think that ICANN requires on the new GTLD is that the activation is a separate operation, because that it requires an extra fee. So in a way, that activation is a different step. But okay, Edmund, anything else to discuss in this text?
Edmund, I think the points taken are good, and I agree pretty much with all of them. I think I'll need to go back and take a long look at it to make some edits. I did some quick edits to it. I'm not sure I'm fully satisfied with what's there yet, but at least, you know, I agree and I understand those particular points.
So you get that as a action point for action item for next week to update this text and maybe expand it.
Yep.
There was an update. There's another item for the update of the terminology list. Was that on you, Sarmad?
Right. So I'm adding the items which were identified. I've not really started defining them. So there are a couple of things. I've actually moved the names of the people who are contributing to Appendix A, and I've started adding the items which were identified last time in Appendix B. So if you scroll down further, you would start seeing some of those items that we do that. So we had allocation, activation, block, IDN variant, IDN variant code point, IDN variant label. So those were some of the items which were identified. But I think we probably then also need to start adding some of these other items. So we want to talk about withheld, allocatable versus allocated, probably use activated rather than activation. So start identifying these terms. I'll work with the Edmund. I'll identify these definitions, Edmund. I'll share those with you as well from the documents from the root zone, and then while you're taking a look at these, and maybe you can consider those as well as you finalize your suggestions. But I don't have anything beyond that at this time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Do we have anything else to go through today?
We were not done with IDN variant section completely. We only looked at the first item.
Yeah.
So maybe should we just go through the rest of the list in IDN variant table, which was proposed by Edmund?
Yeah. We don't have a suggestion for that. So maybe Edmund, do you want to work on the other parts too?
Ms. Edmund, I'm happy to, but I was hoping to get some feedback before I put any text together. So I guess we could, you know, go at it one by one.
Okay, let's do that. Do we have anything to talk about for the meeting in 2 weeks' time?
I guess the first question is whether we will meet again next week.
Well,
we have planned for it, but again, it's up to you guys to finalize.
We have not, or we have planned for it.
We have already planned for it, so I've already sent out an invitation.
Yeah. Is there any reason why we shouldn't meet next week?
This had been jumping in. Not really, but Cal asked for the clarification. So yeah, let's plan on continuing. And depending on whether Samad is comfortable, we could spend maybe the last 15 minutes of next meeting to prepare for Hyderabad. I don't think that should take too much time, but perhaps between now and then, Samad can update what might be presented there, so we can consider it next in the meeting.
So I've actually prepared the longer presentation, and I've also now done a shorter presentation. We have two sessions. One is on 5th, which is for 1 hour, and one is on 6th, which is just a 10-minute update. 10-minute update. So I've actually prepared slides for both. I will update the slides based on, you know, what we finalize in this week and next week. What I'll do is I'll share these. I've shared an initial copy already, but I'll separately email both those sets of slides to the working group, and we can discuss those and finalize them during next call as well. I would need to know who will be presenting. From my understanding, it was that Edmund will be leading both the sessions, but if that is not correct, then please let me know, because I've put in Edmund's name, or I'm putting in Edmund's name for both those slots at this time.
Well, for me, it's fine with Edmund. I will not participate at site. I will try to call in if possible. It should be possible, shouldn't it, Ramad? Remote participation?
Yes, it's possible to call in. Yes, it should be possible to call in.
But since Edmund will be there, I suggest that I think it's good if Edmund could do the presentation.
Yeah, this has been jumping in. I'm happy to do that. I will check more clearly if the session is in conflict with any other that I need to speak at. Barring that, I'm happy to. If that happens, I'll try to another meeting it actually. So.
Okay.
So if you just give me a second, I'll share the times with you right now so that you know when these meetings are. So there you go. Let me just put these in the chat box. So those are the two sessions which are scheduled. One is on 5th November from 11 to 12:15. On IDN implementation guidelines, and then the second one is the IDN program update, which is 8:30 to 9:45 on 6th of November. In the second session, IDN program update, there's a 10-minute presentation on IDN implementation guidelines for the community.
And what is the time zone? You know?
UTC 5.5 hours 30 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay. Plus
5:30.
5:30. That's what you said.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's spend 5 minutes on the variance section here. Allocation, I think that we have discussed that. Delegation, did we cover that, Edmund?
Yeah, so next up would be delegation. I just, based on discussion earlier, and since I guess my current suggestion would be to remove that we don't need to consider this, because this may be a little bit too prescriptive, except for one particular point, I guess, and that's preferred variance. The reason why that presents a a consideration, and I'd like to for us to add this is because there is a there's somewhat of a argument whether you know any of the IDN variants should or could or should be automatically activated, and I think we need to talk about whether that is acceptable or not. And this is the right group to talk about it. And if we have a recommendation, we should include it in the text. So on the delegation part, there are a few bullet points. I think most of them we probably don't need to include, as they're too prescriptive. But there's one particular outstanding point, whether automatically activating preferred variants is acceptable. So that's
according to the registry agreement with ICANN, it is not.
I would contend that it's unclear. But
well,
I would disagree with that, because then that's directly against the CDNC policies, which has been developed for over 10 years.
Yes, but it says in the agreement that activation must be can only be done after an explicit request by the
That's where it stems. I think I read the text many times, and it says maybe and not must only be. So it depends on how you define it. Right?
Well, that is how I can define it, at least.
Well, that's why we need to talk about it here.
Well, that's the ICANN interpretation.
Again, that's the reason why we should talk about it here, because I think that is a standing recommendation from the community and has been implemented without any security problems for the last over 10 years, really 15 years. So I think the experience from .cn, .tw, .hk, and what have you is a very good proof that this is the appropriate way to do it, especially for Chinese. And by disallowing it is, you know, really doing disservice to the Chinese community where variants really came from. So it seems strange to have that. And I think it's important for us to clarify it for that specific purpose also, as Matthew said, in this document.
The question is if this document needs to have any opinions on that or not. Do we see any problem of automatic activation of all variants? That could be, let's say, it's a CCTLD, not controlled by any Reddit agreement with ICANN. Do we see any problem with that? And if we don't,
I think there's a difference. I mean, how Chinese does it for China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Macau, is and Singapore as well. Is that the preferred variants are activated automatically, not all allocatable variants.
Now, what I say is, do we see any problem? Are there any stability problem, a security problem, or any confusability possibility if all variants are automatically activated? If the answer is no, if the answer is that we show no problem, then we could state that automatic activation or not a variant is controlled by policy set by the TLD or other agreement that the TLD has to follow.
This is Edmund jumping in. I agree with that statement. I think that statement would work. And I think, you know, rather than emphasize on the all, I think the emphasis is on automatically activating some of the IDM variants. In the Chinese case, it's called preferred variants. And that's probably the if that's at least agreeable to talk about, then perhaps that's a bit of the text that I will try to draft and send in for next discussion next week.
Edmund, I have to go to the next meeting. Can you close this meeting off? I have to leave. It's 2:00.
Thank you, Mats. And in fact, we are pretty much at the end, but I see Jan's hand up. So, Jan?
Yeah, just a very quick comment to Matt. You ask whether there is a security stability issue, but I think the preferred automatic activation preferred domain, it's more like a customer choice, right? If customer likes that way, then maybe policy should follow that in that way. Maybe we can talk this a little bit next.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye. And I think this is the wrap for this week as well. And unless
right,
there's anyone wants to have any final word. Hearing none, thank you everyone for joining and talk to you all week time. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.